Lately, the AARP magazine has been warning seniors about getting ripped off. Have any of you read these articles? And how we are susceptible to every kind of rip-off rascal you can think of. I had one yesterday, again. This lady from India called me about something wrong with my computer. Have you all had this? I scared Barbara by what I said to her. It wasn't very scriptural. But they got off the line. They got the message. It was only going to be $69.95 plus shipping and handling, but I didn't want to pay it. I didn't even listen to the rest of it. But it's so easy to get ripped off. It can happen. Has it happened to anybody here? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Raise your hand. Yeah. It happens all that. So you've got to be careful. That's what they tell you. Particularly senior citizens. Why? Young people get ripped off too, don't you? Yeah, you bet your life. I guarantee this is the one thing that you can have for $49.95 plus $5.95 shipping and handling plus. And it's junk. I remember when I worked at Florida Presbyterian Homes, there were a number of residents who were always, always investing in Publishers Clearing House. They had some of the dumbest stuff I ever saw in my life that they thought they had to buy in order to qualify for the big prize that was never going to happen. Never. Rascals just have a way of maneuvering, you know? And there's a sucker born every minute. Barnum said it. It's the truth. There's a sucker born every minute. Don't we know that during election year? That's another one. But it happens. And the scripture that we're going to look at today, really, there are going to be four lessons, really, that are evident, not long. But these are rascals, and they've been very hard to interpret over the years in terms of Scripture and in terms of the teachings of Christ. Open your Bible to Luke, or open your tablets to Luke. I have to say that anymore. I learn. People have, you got your tablet? Okay. Now we're looking at Luke, the 16th chapter, the first 15 verses. And if you'll look at your Bible, and I think your tablet says the same thing, it's the parable of the shrewd manager. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's still trying to get through to them what this new kingdom This new kingdom is all about. And he told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he said. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he'd acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men. But God knows your heart. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Believe it or not, our rascals are seen in the steward, the debtors, and even in the master himself. All right, because that's really a long, complicated bit of scripture. And on top of their involvement is the fact that Luke creates no fewer than 4 different lessons to try to teach the disciples from what Jesus is saying. Now, these are not long, and you know me, I have to condense everything down, so it's going to be easier for you to try to take home. That one thing I want to keep in mind, we can't forget the whole scene is being played out. It's being played out in doctoring the books, taking loot under the table, and the dire warning about who we are to serve. Is it money or God? Here are the 4 little lessons. And they're really very clever. And if you look at them as I go through them, look at them in your text. Verse 8, for instance, portrays a lesson about how we are to go about our faith business in the world of business. The lesson, basically, is Christianity will begin to be real and effective only when we spend as much time and effort on our faith as we do our worldly activities. Hence, the sons of the world are wiser than the sons of light, as Jesus said. Verse 9. Look at this. It offers the lesson that material possessions, stuff, should be used to cement the friendships where the real and permanent values of life lie. And that lesson alone is seen in two very nice ways, according to our Lord, as it affects eternity. Our real wealth consists in not what we keep, but what we give away. In not what we keep, but what we give away. You see, it was a Jewish belief that charity given to the poor would stand you in good with God when it came to eternity. All right? The second aspect of that, it also could be done as it affects the world. Possessions are not in themselves sin, but they are great, great responsibility. And the person who uses them to help those in need is doing the right thing and will be blessed truly by God. This is what Christ is trying to say. And a third lesson is found in verses 10 and 11. I like this. That our way of fulfilling a small task is best proof of our fitness or unfitness to be entrusted with a larger task according to what God is calling us to be and do and become. We're expected to give proof of our honesty as stewards of our Lord. Heavenly reward is based on what we do in our lives and with our lives. A fourth lesson from this nice bit of scripture is seen in verse 13. You've heard it before. Nobody can serve two masters. And Jesus being very, very blunt, and you know he's talking not only to his disciples, but he's also talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees loved wealth. They loved money and they loved stuff. While we live in a two or three job world in 2016, which is something Jesus probably never figured that we'd have to be facing, we live this way to make ends meet, don't we? And Jesus makes it clear that if you're working, one, two, or three, doesn't matter. That serving God can never be a part-time or a spare-time job. Remember, I was saying to the kids that we are the peacemakers, even as young as we are. That's our job. All the time. All the time. Not part-time, not Sunday only, but it's something to be taken seriously. Serving God can never be part-time or spare time. God is the most exclusive master that we could ever, ever expect to serve. And we either belong to Him totally or we don't belong to Him at all. You can give God lip and tip service all you want. Lip and tip. Used to joke about that earlier in the ministry. But sometimes that's the way we go through it. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this. And they were sneering at Jesus. What a joke. What a joke. And he said to them, "You're the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, You say the stuff that men want to hear. You do the things that men want to see done. But God knows your hearts. What's highly valued by men is detestable in the eyes of God. What a story. What a story. God our Father, we're grateful that you give us a summons to try to be and do and become the servants that we should be for the glory not only that you give to us in Jesus Christ. But we pray in a very wonderful way, that by some miracle, beyond the delusion of the world, we'd find the vision of you in one another, in all of life, for Christ. Amen.